Kia ora, welcome to the Power Up podcast, powered by Venture Taranaki and produced by Raw Collective. Season 4 has even more innovative, driven entrepreneurs doing amazing things in a variety of sectors. This series not only highlights the strength and diversity of entrepreneurship within Taranaki, but it's also a library of real-life case studies for budding business people to learn from. Taranaki business founders lift the curtains to tell honest stories of how they've got to where they are. We talk about their wins, their challenges, their inspiration, and their breakthroughs. And at the same time, we reflect on the reality of growing and running a business in Taranaki. We talk about how the unique natural and economic landscape has fueled both enterprises and lifestyles and empowers founders to be at their best. I'm David Downs, and this is the latest in a series all about flourishing Taranaki businesses and thriving Taranaki people. Nau mai, haere mai, we welcome you to hear all about our enterprising future like no other. Graham Nelson is a user experience, or UX, designer by trade, but is arguably better known as the co-founder of Manifold Co-working Space and Doso, formerly Startup Taranaki, two organizations dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs in Taranaki. Manifold started in 2015 and was an early example of a co-working space that has since become mainstream. It's been hugely popular and has created its own community of startup founders, freelancers, remote workers, and more. It recently expanded its New Plymouth space and opened a new office in the coastal beach town of Oakura. Doso also provides startup support to early stage entrepreneurs. It was also born in 2015, bringing together like-minded volunteers that wanted to support budding entrepreneurs with their ventures. It's now a registered charity famed for Startup Weekend Taranaki, a 54-hour marathon challenge that brings together entrepreneurs and mentors to take ideas through the crash course to become realised. Well, Graham, good morning. Where have you come from this morning?
I have come from the co-working space, which is on Curry Street, around the corner.
Just around the corner.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you're originally from just around the corner to me. That accent says you're from quite a long corner away.
Yeah, well spotted. So I'm originally Irish. I grew up in Dublin.
Mm. Which part of Dublin?
Blanchardstown.
Ah, yes.
Suburbs.
I know, it's well. I used to live in Dublin, yeah.
Ah.
My parents from Ireland. My uncle's from Blanchardstown, actually.
Get out of it.
Small world.
Really?
Yeah, but the reason they're in New Zealand is probably the same reason you're in New Zealand. Why did you move all the way over here?
Well, I came in 2006, like an overseas experience. I had a one-year work visa. Just came to check it out, really. Didn't have any agenda or any plans as such. I based myself primarily in Wellington.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the year, just sort of took stock, looked around, and I had some good work. They were willing to sponsor me in an advertising agency down there, and I had a really good group of friends and just decided to stay. And 2 years turned into three, turned into four, and so on.
And now are you one of us?
I'm Irish.
Oh, you're Irish. I was just going to say, who do you support? I won't even go down that direction now.
Yeah, you guys, always Irish.
Always Irish, fair enough. But this is now home for you, I presume.
100%. Yeah. I feel very grounded here, to be honest. So I've got a family here and naturally got a business here as well.
And what do you like about this place that's encouraged you to feel so at home?
It's very similar to Ireland in lots of ways. Specifically, Taranaki, I came up because of surfing. So I ended up in Wellington probably 5 years all up. We used to spend weekends coming up here surfing. At some point, just said, I might just go live there, see what it's like. So I came here not knowing a single person, really, really unconnected, and just slowly
found your way into the society.
Yeah.
Wow. At the time, you were a designer, were you? Or working in the ad agencies? Or?
Yeah, sort of web designer, interactive designer.
Yeah,
sort of bounced around a few of the sort of agencies down there and got a job with Efinity up here. Which is a really good sort of web design company here.
Yeah. And is that what led you to thinking, actually, I want somewhere to work, there is nowhere to work, I better set up somewhere to work? Was it that kind of logic process?
Pretty much. I mean, in Wellington more so, there were times I was working out of my bedroom and I found that incredibly isolating and distracting.
Yeah.
And so when I came across the concept of co-working, it really just resonated with me. So I was listening to podcasts and reading articles, industry articles, and I guess co-working became prominent in America and a lot of people in the web and tech industry were using co-working spaces. So I kind of came across it
Yeah. I remember back in sort of 2015, 16, being in the States and finding it very trendy and all that kind of stuff. You know, it was before WeWork and things. Yeah. And then when I heard that Taranaki had a co-working space, I was going, really? What? This is what they have in Silicon Valley, but you had it here right in the heart of New Plymouth.
Yeah. It started as a side hustle. Another thing, you know, talked about isolation and distraction, but like I'm quite affected by my environment and I just figure, you know, creating a little cool boutique-y co-working space might appeal to other like-minded people like myself.
Yeah. There's a whole concept of space and design and, you know, the interaction between humans and their environment and
absolutely,
creativity and all that sort of stuff. Oh, we could get nerdy on this stuff. Yeah. I was at IDEO, which is a cool place in San Fran with Tim Brown. And he was talking about exactly that sort of thing, that space is such an important part of framing your way of thinking.
Mm, yeah, you're trying to kind of create the conditions for connection and collision and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, creative collisions. Mm. Did you get a few doubters, though, when you first started it up?
To be honest, no. I mean, it was definitely a slow business to get off the ground, but generally speaking, people were really curious and encouraging of what I was trying to do.
Yeah. Did it attract initially designers and creatives like yourself, or what was the sort of initial population?
Well, we started with 5 desks. Like I was recently looking back on old photos. I was like, oh my God, it's literally just 5 desks there and really bare. But it appealed to an architect who was just starting out on his own. And I honestly can say without him sitting in an empty space for about 6 months or more while we tried to build community around that.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't be here today, but yeah. So
well, if you're going to co-work, you need a co-worker.
I know. And he was incredibly patient with us and was happy enough to be there by himself. But, you know, from the get-go, it did start attracting some pretty interesting folk.
Yeah. Mm. Do you find that part of the growth of this interest in co-working spaces is because now people are working remotely from other parts of the country or the world even. So you've got these people who are working all, you know, in any time zone, in any location, but they want to physically be with other people. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of one of the models that you're seeing evolving?
Yeah, I mean, community is the strongest sort of asset we've got going. And I think people working remotely, you know, might try to work from home and suffer with those sorts of issues that come with working from home. And then they seek out a co-working space. And so having that connection is really, really important for people.
Yeah. Mm. Connection and a beer tap.
Not a beer tap yet, but we do have beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Working on that one.
Yeah. I went into a co-working space again in America and there was a beer tap. I thought, great. Beer, it's 4 o'clock. It was kombucha.
Oh,
they had me fooled. I know, exactly. Very disappointing. So tell me about the sorts of people that, and how long do they stay for, you know, and what are they looking for? Are they there as a long-term thing or is it typically short-term?
Oh, well, I mean, we've got a whole range of memberships from like private office that are on longer leases through to like people who drop in for an hour or two and a real range of people using the space. A lot of remote workers, obviously, and fascinating where their actual business is located. I mean, sometimes it's London or Hong Kong or Dubai or somewhere like that. Yeah. Digital nomads. I'm always really interested to see people dropping in and, you know, just passing through town and what they're up to. It's always fascinating.
Yeah. So these are people who have a job, but they do that anywhere in the world. So they travel while they're working.
Correct. Yeah. And they move, you know, from region to region or location to location. And I think we're well positioned to attract more of that kind of person, to be honest, you know, with the waves and the mountains that we have on offer.
And do you think it's a bit chicken and egg in that? Are there lots of remote workers here in Taranaki because you've got a co-working space or vice versa? Like, did you set the trend or are you lucky that it happened around you?
It's a bit of both. I mean, when we started in 2015, remote working, it was a thing, but nothing like it is post-COVID.
Yeah.
And so COVID has really helped. But then some people have identified having a co-working space in town has helped them make the decision to move.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely something.
So without that, they might not have had the option. They didn't really want to be in their bedroom or...
Yeah, it certainly gives the region a tick when they can see there's a few spaces in the region. Yeah.
And now, you mentioned the big C word, the COVID word.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience during COVID? Obviously, people couldn't come to the co-working space during that period, but did you see definitely an uptick afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, obviously during the lockdowns was incredibly challenging. But coming out the back of that, I think what has happened is a lot of employers have seen that their employees can work remotely and can still produce and deliver. Mm. And so they're happy for them now to work from anywhere. And so we have these people who are like, well, why am I sitting in traffic in Auckland when I could be living, you know, somewhere like Taranaki? And
yeah.
And so they're choosing to come, and it's great.
It's wonderful. Mm, yeah. So wonderful that obviously Manifold is successful and growing, and you've opened and expanded another space, I hear.
Correct, yeah. So, I mean, we opened a space in Ohakura, and that's been really exciting for us. And then we also moved location in town to a brand new bespoke fit out. So there's been lots of change over the last couple of years, but we really like the difference of having a city space and a sort of coastal space.
Yeah.
A member can use both.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In the same day, even if they want to,
correct.
I suppose, go for a surf in the afternoon.
And absolutely, and some do, you know, you'll see them in both. I mean, I often travel between both, but it's great to see the same people popping into both.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and they're quite different. Like our city one is quite urban and moody, and while the one in Ohakura is quite light-filled and beachy, it's got like a lovely sea view and everything.
Yeah, yeah, but both of them have good Wi-Fi.
Correct. And coffee.
And coffee. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing they need. I mean, the business model of a co-working space is just really good coffee, isn't it? That's the main thing.
Correct. It's a real focus.
And what's the future for the co-working space? Will you keep growing as the demand grows? Will you open up satellite places?
Unsure, really, to be honest. We're kind of just focusing on what we've got currently. I mean, the future of co-working is looking really strong. You know, I mean, I think hybrid work is here to stay. I think remote work is here to stay. And so providing that connection space for people is always going to be important, and people are always going to look for it. I was at a conference in Europe towards the end of last year, and some things were emerging there was providing space for larger teams who do work remotely to come together to work intensely over a day or two.
Yeah.
And, you know, providing it, you know, packaging that up and providing it to them with good catering and good workshop environments.
That would be a trend I would support, you know, because people do like the working from home. The genie's out of the bottle now, isn't it? People like the working from home, but they want to come together physically day or two a week.
Correct.
So having that kind of flexibility would be good. Mm. Will that continue to evolve, do you think? Will it be, you know, things like the four-day working week, which is obviously a movement and a bit of a trend, will that have a positive impact as well?
To co-working?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it will. You know, I mean, as I say, that the kind of hybrid way of working is here to stay. There's a lot of people who enjoy working from home in their home office, and then they also have their office space where their team come. But then there's this notion of third spaces as well, which might be a coffee shop or a co-working space or something like that.
I mean,
you know, I think people are in charge of their working week way more than they ever were.
Yeah. Mm. Now, you also were involved in co-founding Doso.
Yes.
So tell us a little about Doso. What was the situation at the time when you thought this area needs something more as well? What problem were you trying to solve?
So again, back in 2015, we had this space. We were looking for events to help activate the space. I mean, I find events in a co-working space are a really important part of what's on offer. I think we had a social media evening arranged, and I met a guy, Frank Lockman, at that meetup. And we were having a chat and quite quickly spoke about Startup Weekend. We both had sort of come across the idea or the event in Wellington, and we both agreed that it'll be really a terrific event for the region.
Yeah.
I think looking around at what was available at the time, there was for sure through Venture Taranaki a lot of support for entrepreneurs, but there was nothing that was kind of competition-based. There was really an opportunity for an entrepreneur to test the water, as it were, to kind of just spend a 54-hour weekend just really rolling up the sleeves and getting stuck in.
So tell us, for people who haven't heard about this concept of a startup weekend, tell us how does that play out?
People come along to the event and generally come with a business idea. It's not necessary that you have an idea, but generally people do. So we might get about 30 people along for an event, of which, you know, 20 or more might pitch a business idea. Then there's a kind of team formation part. So people will form teams around some of those stronger ideas. It's quite a messy, organic kind of process, that one. And then towards the evening, this is Friday evening, you know, we might have 4 to 7 teams of like 4 to 8 people.
Yeah.
The room has got some really good local mentors. So we kind of reach into the local business community and get some mentors that span all sorts of aspects of business, be that accounting or legal or, you know, tech or whatever. It's really well facilitated by trained Startup Weekend facilitators, of which you've got some really good local ones. And then the teams essentially just figure out what it is they're doing for the weekend.
Yeah.
They normally leave around midnight on Friday night. Saturday, they come in. We encourage them to get out of the building and go validate some of their thinking on the idea that they have. And then we often find they come back and realize they have a terrible idea. And then
the cold light of day.
Yeah. And then they have to pivot. And, you know, it's a real roller coaster. And it's based on the Lean Canvas. So they're kind of trying to populate the Lean Canvas as they go. So then Sunday rolls around. People are exhausted. There's often been tears, but they're working towards the finals night, the final presentation. And so for that, we bring in some judges who have had no exposure to the weekend. And then the teams get to pitch and present where they're at.
And are they pitching for investment or just feedback?
Generally not, just feedback. Yeah. We do build a little package that the team walk away with, but it's way more about the experience and the personal and professional development that goes on.
Fantastic. Mm. And have you got any success stories that have come out of the Startup Weekend?
Yeah, definitely. There's been quite a few. I mean, some teams don't continue, and that's terrific too. Some people realize that they're not, entrepreneurship isn't for them, and that's also very good. Like they still learn a lot of skills, make some connections, and they go back to the workplace and you know, are better people for it. But we have had lots of good successes. I guess the one that springs to mind is Eat Kinda.
Oh, I know them, the cauliflower-based ice cream.
Yeah,
fantastic. They were involved in the power-up pitch night that I was part of a few years ago.
Yeah, and that's great that there's a pathway for these entrepreneurs. So they finish Startup Weekend and then they're like, well, where to next? Mm. And these days there are some great programs that they can go into.
That's fantastic. But you do more than that. DOSA just does more than just the Startup Weekend, or great as it is. What are the other sorts of things you get involved in?
I mean, we're very community focused as well. So we're trying to build a community of people who are trying to start something.
Yeah.
So we've monthly meetups that are really well attended. So they're often like founder speaker type events. So we get a local founder typically to come and just share their story, warts and all. But it's around beer and pizza, and there's a lot of kind of connection and networking.
Sounds like the classic formula for startups, having been involved in quite a bit of that work myself. Yeah. And you were originally called Startup Taranaki. You changed the name, though. Why did you change?
Yeah, a few reasons, really. I mean, we found the word startup, not everybody identifies as a startup. They see it as a high growth kind of tech kind of word.
Yeah.
And so we found that a bit restricting. And then also, there's a really good team these days in the organization, and some of them started to do work outside of the region, you know, so delivering some of these programs that we've got, like in Auckland and Blenheim and places.
Right.
And
so it's become a business of itself in a funny way.
Yeah, in a way, but having it delivered by Startup Taranaki didn't really make sense. And so we decided to change the name. So DOSA, which is sort of an abbreviation of do something.
Oh, I thought it was an Irish phrase. You're a dose, so you are. What's your assessment of the startup scene, of that early stage business scene in Taranaki? How do you see it evolving?
Yeah, I think it's really well served currently, which is great. So there are a few sort of supporting actors in the region, of which Venture Taranaki is one. Innovate HQ, we've got a program called Innovate Taranaki, and others. And it's really collaborative amongst us, you know, those sort of startup nurturing organizations. So what we're hearing is that, it's really well served. There's a lot, and it's all free too. A lot of the programs that get delivered are free. So there's a really low barrier there for people.
For those of people who don't live in Taranaki or spend much time here, do you think this is a good place to start a business? Is there a bit of secret sauce about the place?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, through the co-working space, we're at the kind of forefront of seeing who's around and who's doing what. And there's some incredibly talented people here. Mm. And everyone is really generous with their time and their skills. And so for somebody new to the region with an idea percolating, like, put your hand up and ask. There's lots of people around to help,
That's good, isn't it? It's pretty good. Have you got any concept of what the future might look like in this region? For Bodoso, for Manifold, the combination, all these players together, what would your dream look like in 10 years' time, 20 years' time?
I think things are looking really, really good. people are demonstrating now that you don't need to be in one of the centers to have a successful business. You can connect globally with, you know, being from anywhere. And so I think we're really well placed to attract more of that type of person to the region. And they, I mean, again, an example might be people might come with a remote job, but then when they kind of collide with others who are doing interesting things, they'll either share the skills that they've got or maybe take the step into entrepreneurship themselves. And there has been examples of that already.
Wonderful. Mm. Before we finish, I want to just, there'd be someone listening to this, I'm sure, who wants to get in, but feels maybe a little bit shy, a little bit not how, sure how to get into this community. What's the first tip, trick you'd give to someone who's listening and to get involved in either Doso or Manifold?
Well, in terms of the Doso community, just come along to one of our meetups. They're typically on the fourth Wednesday of each month.
Yep.
It's a really inclusive space. You just get, as I say, to have a drink and have some pizza and meet some people.
Yeah.
Another thing that Doso offers is a free office hour, which is an opportunity to come and just kick your idea around with two of us and go from there.
Yeah.
And quite often with those, it's not us providing the advice or the knowledge. It's just connecting them with the people in the community that we feel can help.
That's great. Mm. That's good. So don't feel shy if you're listening to this.
And in terms of Manifold, just pop in for a coffee.
Anytime. Nice. Apparently good coffee. Mm. Now, last question. What is the best and worst business advice you've ever had?
Probably the best business advice I was given was around trying to understand who you are or who I am as an entrepreneur. Like, so I think what I learned there was that I'm way more of a journeyman than a destination man. So a lot of people talk about the importance of having, you know, that ultimate vision or that sort of exit strategy. And I kind of learned to be quite comfortable with the journey and not being really clear on that, you know.
That's nice.
So just being in it for the adventure that it is.
That's how you find yourself in Taranaki when you're a Blanchardstown boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what about the worst advice? Was it here, buy a one-way ticket to New Zealand?
Probably there was a point in time when another co-working space came into town. And I guess in some quarters, the advice was that you're not going to be able to compete and that you should maybe just consider exiting at that point.
Yeah.
Which thankfully I didn't take.
Good. And we're glad you didn't, because Manifold is a big part of the success of the region.
Mm, thank you.
Graham, thanks very much for coming along. Nice to meet another dub.
Oh, yeah. Good man.
Good man yourself.
Thanks, David.
Thanks so much for listening, and a special thanks to Venture Taranaki for making this Power Up podcast possible. Highlighting Taranaki's success stories for others to learn from is just one way Venture Taranaki helps entrepreneurs to get ideas off the ground. If you're looking to start a new venture or want to power up your existing business, Venture Taranaki can help. With a wide range of services such as free startup clinics, advisory support, business mentoring, masterclasses, investment advice, and networking opportunities, VT is here to help you bring your idea to life. And in Taranaki, you can enjoy the like no other mountain-to-sea lifestyle. There's something for everyone, with stunning natural landscapes and a unique buzz about the place, with diverse events, arts and culture, and a thriving food and beverage scene. If you've got this far and you've enjoyed the episode, please rate it, review it, or subscribe for more. It helps others find us.